The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Under Center podcast presented by St. Xavier University with our boss man and super sub Michael Allardyce sitting in with us. Bears contributor Alex Shapiro will join us a little bit later. And of course, we got Tony Gill here and I am Kenneth Davis. It's over, everybody. I know it took a long time. We're still sipping the champagne and enjoying ourselves with the draft, this past draft from the Bears. Doing a terrific job. Just to update you on today's picks, if you did not know already, you have Larry Borman, offensive tackle from Missouri, pick 151 in the fifth round. Khalil Herbert, 217th pick in the sixth round, running back from Virginia Tech. You have Daz Newsome from North Carolina. He was picked in the sixth round at 221. Thomas Graham Jr., he's a cornerback. He's out of Oregon. He was 228 in the sixth. And last but not least, Kyrus Tonga, 250 in the seventh round. Also, I shouldn't have said least, Charles Snowden, the edge rusher from Virginia, as the first undrafted free agent that the Bears have picked up. We're sure they're probably going to pick up some more. But we're sitting here and enjoying ourselves, guys. How are y'all doing, man? How's this draft been, Tony? I haven't seen you, my brother. How have you been?
I've been doing well, man. Just excited. I mean, it feels good. I think we talked about this the first day as the first reaction. Like, you don't feel like you got fleeced as a fan. Like, it feels good to know that your general manager operated normally and got talent at the positions of need. And once he picked the second offensive tackle, I was like, just take best player available at this point for me. Like, I'm good. Like, I think you can find a corner. And then he went and got one, went and drafted one. And those were only two things that I was looking for. But after he drafted his Larry Borum, I was like, I'm good. This is all gravy at this point. Just do your thing now. You being, as in terms of Ryan Pace, as good of a late round drafter as anybody in the league, now you just go do your thing. You find the best talent that can impact this team, and I think he did that.
Dice?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know, coming into Thursday night, I was very optimistic they were going to get Justin Fields. So, like, huge get there. And doing all this research and looking at all these mock drafts, like, we've worked on so many projects. We've done this cool project that we did for NBC Sports Chicago where we surveyed the fans. We analyzed a bunch of mock drafts to kind of figure out who was being projected to the Bears in the first round. And Tevin Jenkins was the name that came up the most. So getting him, a first round talent that I had already kind of expected to get in the first round, in the second round, in addition to Justin Fields, was amazing. And then today, I don't know how many people are necessarily familiar with the players that the Bears drafted. Virginia Tech running back Khalil Herbert, or Khalid, I'm sorry. No, it's Khalil.
Yeah, it's Khalil, yeah.
Yeah, he was a Kansas Jayhawk. I'm an Oklahoma guy, so like I knew him from that. But he wasn't the player at Kansas that he was at Virginia Tech. You know, he rushed for almost 1,200 yards, I think, last year. Just had an absolute breakout season. But Pro Football Focus, I think, had him as one of the top 100 prospects going into the draft. So you got a top 100 player in the 200s picks. The same thing for Thomas Graham. Thomas Graham was also, I believe, in Pro Football Focus's guide, a top 100 player. And then you got him in the sixth round as well. And then Charles Snowden was a player that a lot of people thought would go high in the draft, was probably going to be a top 100 prospect. He fractured his right ankle in October, November. And I think that hurt him and his draft stock. And then you add him as an undrafted free agent. Like, holy cow. They won this draft by all accounts. And I haven't paid close enough attention to the other teams to see how their draft class stacks up. But just having kind of looked at the landscape for our coverage on NBCSportsChicago.com, you walk away thinking, wow, like we definitely walked away with four players who were in the top 100 prospects, and we had two picks in the first five rounds. It's kind of mind-boggling, actually.
Yeah, I totally agree. Of course, these are late round picks, and I don't want to sit here and act like all these guys are necessarily going to hit, but it does seem like what you're saying, Michael, that they picked up a lot of quality. And that's one thing that Ryan Pace has really been good at, even though, you know, we pile on Ryan Pace. He has found guys, and just last night, Adam Hogue had tweeted out some of the guys that he had found as far as like Adrian Amos, Jordan Howard, Bilal Nichols. Who else did he find in the fifth round? I can't necessarily remember. It was one more person. I can't remember who it was. But Mooney. Pace, you said, and Mooney and Darnell Mooney. So Ryan Pace has found some guys. And even on top of that, when you look at Newsom and you look at Khalil Herbert, you got two guys that one could sit there with Herbert and help you in kickoff, and then the other one can help you in punt return with Daz Newsome, which we know now with our man Cordell Patterson going, you're going to need that. People forget how well how good of a punt returner Cordell Patterson is. And on top of that, how good of a defender he is as a gunner on special teams. So you have to fill out some of the special teams position, and it seems like they did that with the later round picks in this draft. So look, I mean, I think after the first two picks, we was going to give this draft to A anyway. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's a celebration. It's a celebration here in the city. And but still, I want to talk to you two real quick about this. And it's something that Hogue had asked yesterday, and it came back up today when he asked Ryan Pace, could Tevin Jenkins play left? And, like, that's the thing. And Ryan, and the crazy one, he said the same thing about Larry Borum when he said that both of them could switch off. And I'm like, wait. Tevin Jenkins had two games. He said a lot of tape. I don't know if two games is a lot of tape, all right? But I mean, I'm sold on Jenkins because he was a guy, and as you said, Dice, that a lot of people had going at 20, you know, not just here at NBC Sports Chicago. So when you got him, even if you had to give up a lot, and the Bears did give up a lot, I'm satisfied. But I'm interested in seeing if he'll be moved, even though I don't think you need to necessarily do that this year. And I know everybody and their mother wants to just kick Charles Little Jr.'s ass out of the city. But let's just slow down a little bit, perhaps. All right, we need a little bit of depth.
I mean, I'm all for letting the guy be more comfortable. Like, it's already a hard transition playing in the NFL. So also switching sides from a position, and I'm speaking about Jenkins. If he's more comfortable on that right side, then just let him rock. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, you maybe want to test it in training camp, see how it goes. But I think the initial intention should be getting him comfortable with the NFL, and if he's most comfortable being on that right side where it's a little less responsibility, he doesn't have to go against, you know, he's going to be going against elite talent every week, but not the premier.
Yes, the freaky dude.
Right, dudes, like at least in his rookie year. Let him get comfortable first. And then Borum, he has, experience on both sides. So I think that's just adding depth to positions of need, obviously on the offensive line. But I'm a more of a proponent, especially with rookies, just let them get comfortable with what got them to this level. Like, you watch tape and you selected this player for what they've done at their current positions. And of course you want to try things out and see where it goes, but I'm all for let it be, let them rock, let them get comfortable at right tackle. If that's where he's most comfortable.
So, last night, when Alex Brown was on with Ken, Alex Brown said something that kind of has stuck with me like all day, which was you want your left tackle to be patient. And everything we know about Tevin Jenkins is that he's not patient. He's aggressive. Like, I don't know if you've seen that clip from the Texas game where he just like starts blocking this guy and just doesn't stop pushing until on the bench. Like, that's not – I haven't played in the NFL, so I don't know why that is an issue on the left side of the quarterback. But
doing that is more for guards, right? I mean, they bought Kyle Long for being that guy, but he was a guard because you can get that right.
But then you draft Borum today, who is a career right tackle. So now you have two people who have been like a career right tackle. So like, I feel like Alex Brown talked me into keeping Tevin Jenkins on the right side. last night. And then Ryan Pace drafts Borum, a right tackle, today. And now I'm like, well, I guess, like, we, Adam Hoge actually wrote a story this morning after media availability about, like, you know, Tevin Jenkins left or right, you know, his future could be on either side. And then they draft Borum, and it's like, well, now you have two right tackles. So it seems like Jenkins is destined for the left side. And like that whole debate lasted like 13 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And listen, I'm with you because AB got me too when he said, basically, you know, your left tackle should be astute and be a gentleman. All right. And hold, like he used Orlando Pace. He used several guys, you know what I'm saying?
Just nice guys. With,
yeah. High intellect. And then yeah. your Mauler beat him up guys, the right tackle. As you said, Dice, when you look at Tevin Jenkins, you don't necessarily see that. But listen, we'll find out. Even I think sometimes, even with the lower round picks, especially since this is a Christmas. This is Christmas for grown men, grown women too, that we put a lot on these lower round picks. I still wonder what's going to happen to the players that was drafted late last year, like Alton Hambright and Lashavius Simmons. You always got to worry about a Lashavius. What's going to happen with those two guys as far as the depth? Because they really weren't implemented last year when we had all those problems with the offensive line. I hope Borum is more than just a Borum is more than just a guy. You know what I'm saying? I hope mm-hmm. that, because I definitely believe Tevin Jenkins is more than just a guy. But if you're telling me right now that it's pie in the sky, but right now, if they solve their left and right guard situation, and I see Yosef right here just put that he sees Borum as a guard. I see Borum as a guard too, but you have two good guards unless you're going to be using him as more of a depth guy. You know, so mm-hmm. I don't see him beating out Corey Whitehair and James Daniels. You know, it's especially how James Daniels was playing last year before he got mm-hmm. hurt. You know what I'm saying? But listen, if you add in more depth, and I think that's the key to it. We saw what happened with this offensive line last year. You needed more depth, and you needed guys that are going to get out there and get angry and get nasty. The Bears were lacking angry and nasty guys. In conversations I had with people, I would say in the last month, I kept saying I wish they would have someone that was like Olin Krutz that set the tone. You need somebody out there to let the rest of those guys know, listen, we are crew and we will bum rush you and roll up on you. And it seems like they kind of have that guy again in Tevin Jenkins, kind of like the offensive version. And this kind of goes with what Alex was saying last night, the offensive version of Akeem Hicks. You know how Akeem Hicks always is close to the line and you feel free that he's about to get kicked out the game, but the ref may not see him smack somebody's helmet. He's like, calm down, Akeem. That seems like the type of guy that you have in Tevin Jenkins. And you need that nastiness where you need guys to get off the ball. We saw really, and I kind of think this is indicative of Matt Nagy not really rushing the ball initially when he took over coaching here.
I was just about to mention that. Like, I mean, did Matt Nagy help his offensive line in terms of to get them going, to have a little bit more of that mentality just by sharing his way of play calling? Where, you know, where it was kind of the run game was severely lacking. And when you now have these guys, right, who have projected to be, you know, these nasty dudes, is he going to allow them to be nasty? That's mm-hmm. that's my thing. It's like, are you going to let them do what's natural to them?
He should. His, like, play card has BU on it, right? It'd be really weird for him to be telling everyone to BU and not be let people be themselves either.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think too, and we kind of talk about this a lot. We don't necessarily know the length that Nagy and Pace are going to get. Some of us feel like it wasn't just going to be one season. It was more than one season. They're just not really telling us the truth. But the urgency, I feel like, that's been placed on them, and also the growth these guys have basically learned on the job. And it right now, it seems like the fruits have come to bear with just how they've switched their mentality when it comes to toughness. We're seeing football players be drafted and not necessarily physical freaks like Kevin White, and definitely he turned into a football player, and Leonard Floyd. But you're seeing guys that are necessarily football players. Even the depth guys are still football players. None of them are like necessarily like, yes, this guy runs a 4.34. Now they still have nice speed. It's like, I think they're both with the North Carolina kid and with the kid from Virginia Tech. I think they're both like 4A guys, but still it's more about their skills being football players more than just being physical athletes that we've seen Ryan Pace pick in the past. So there seems like some growth when it comes to the drafting that we haven't seen. And listen, again, maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid because it's so sweet right now. I mean, it's some of the tastiest Bears Kool-Aid that we've ever had. This is the truth. It's not even just lying. It's just the truth from the first two picks alone, but it's the draft seems to somewhat make more sense than it ever has made sense in the past. And we're going to even enjoy these later round picks for right now until we get to camp and we find out who these guys really are.
Go ahead, Dice.
I mean, didn't you like going into this draft think, man, the Bears are so far away from being contenders at the way to the 2020 season went with like that long losing streak. And then like the way the Saints just like destroyed them in the playoffs. And you know, the way the offseason has started to go, you're just like, man, we're not even close. And now, like Friday night, I was like, we're good. Like, let's do this. Like, we have Fields, we have Jenkins. It felt like every problem we had was kind of solved overnight. And to circle back to something you said earlier, Kevin, about Cordarrelle Patterson leaving. I mean, aside from losing him on special teams in both like the gunner role and the returner role, you lost your second running back on the depth chart,
right?
Cordarrelle Patterson. You know, now like you get Tariq Cohen back, so because he's come off injury and hopefully he's healthy and ready to go. So like you have that, but now you also have Herbert in the mix, mm-hmm. who's so now you've got depth at running back too. You bolstered your offensive line, which was a huge weakness. You've in the undrafted free agent market, you've gone to multiple offensive linemen to keep that thing going. And, you know, it's like every doubt you kind of had about the team has been resolved. And I understand like some of this is kind of reactionary and like we're fans and we like the Bears. I mean, like, so
club dub.
Right. So like I made the Kool-Aid that like we're all drinking, you know what I mean? But like it feels really good. Like you looked at the 2021 season, you're like, man, it's, I don't know, it's gonna be rough. And now you feel like, as a Bears fan, you're feeling, man, hey, we might have a chance. Like the Bears, Justin Fields could like turn some heads in camp, like Russell Wilson in 2012, and like be the starter, even though they're saying Dalton's gonna be, or it could be like a, you know, some games into the season he comes in and like it should. I mean, and I think you can see that. Even in the fan or the players on the team, like Eddie Jackson on the Instagram live being like, finally, we got a real quarterback. And like, you can just see, and like, that's a huge slight towards Mitch Trubisky, which is kind of messed up in its own right. But like, just, you can see that, like, we talked about how Tevin Jenkins' aggressive mindset could like impact the other offensive linemen and it could translate to, and they could kind of like bolster the whole unit. But like the moves that have been made and the picks that have been made in the past 3 days seem to have also like not only inspired that amongst the fan base but the players, and like that's super interesting.
Yeah, when going into the last season you had guys kind of throwing like offhand shots at, you know, Mitch Trubisky, and like, I mean, to see the players on social media express their excitement for just a draft, and these are rookies, and you know how these football players are, you know, in terms of their thoughts on rookies, you know, they're just, mm-hmm. you know, rookies, but to have that loud of a excitement on social from the players was really great to see, because they watch, you know, players, they know who's good and who's not. So it's a bit easier for them to be excited. But one thing I did want to address, Ken, you brought it up about Ryan Pace not drafting projects this time around. He drafted football players, like players with experience in games, not just, you know, with the Kevin White thing. Well, he's got all the physical tools.
Or Trubisky.
With,
good point.
He looks like the part, like without even having the experience. He drafted guys that have been in the trenches, and some of them literally, you know, trenches and, you know, on the offensive line, but players with competitive edges to them because they've been in tough games. They've been in, they've had experience. Justin Fields specifically. I was listening to what the podcast was yesterday, and AB just saying like, what he sees from Justin Fields in terms of Justin Fields probably feels like he's better than Trevor Lawrence because he's beaten him like his whole college, you know, career. And Trevor Lawrence just keeps getting rated higher than him. So having that chip on his shoulder, then having some maulers and having experienced guys that play football is certainly a turner, a 180 from what Ryan Pace did in previous drafts. But it's like you said, it's exciting.
So I'm going to butcher her name, Cynthia on NFL Network. I never watch NFL Network, but I watched it today because they were actually showing the picks being made. So Cynthia, I don't remember her last name, but she said that she had talked to scouting personnel at 16 team NFL teams. And out of those 16 teams, 8 had Justin Fields as the top ranked quarterback in the draft. 8. Mm. That's a quarter of the league. That's 25% of the league. Like, had Justin Fields as the best quarterback in the draft. And the Bears got him as the fourth quarterback in the draft at the 11th. Like, oh my God.
That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen here. That's even better point.
It doesn't happen here.
Right. Like, yeah. You see, you know, when there's a universal consensus on something, like, it feels good when you have the guy, right? Like, even, all right, God forbid, Justin Fields doesn't turn out to be that well. I don't think Bears fans would even be that mad because they got the guy that they weren't supposed to get anyway. So I think it's going to suck if he does suck. Like, not even gonna lie. Like, if he does suck, yeah. It's going to suck.
It's going to suck bad.
There won't be any – you know, 2020 hindsight things going on from Bears fans because you felt like you stole something, you know, in that first round with Justin Fields.
It's funny because I watched the whole draft today, which why? Because I'm addicted. And they sat there and they had a list of quarterbacks that played the least games in college. And guess who was number one glaring right there? Mitch with 13 games, and they were talking about Trey Lance and his 17, and Mac at the bottom of the list with 17 games were Trey Lance and Mac Jones, right? But so I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it, and then I think about the Eddie Jackson thing, and I'll say this because I'll take a stab back at Eddie. I remember one time watching Eddie Jackson talk about Mitch, and he was talking about how he was cool as a cucumber and a leader. And I remember thinking, like, get your ass out of here, right? And now to see him say that, I'm like, I knew you was lying. I knew it. I knew you were lying. When he sounds like, because we all know, it's like, man, stop. I hate when the quarterback gets drafted automatically, and they're like, man, he's the leader. It's like, not like, whoa, slow down. But Dice, getting even back to what you're saying about how do you feel now about the upcoming season, and I kind of do you. I'll include you too, Tony. I think the floor of Justin Fields still would dictate he would be a winning football player. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's,
give me a comparison, Ken, at his floor.
That's a good one. That's a good question. Who would be a good comparison at his floor?
Is,
you know what I'll say? Go ahead, Dyson.
No, I want to hear what you want to say before I put my foot in my mouth.
You know what? I'm going to go with – and I won't even – because, you know, usually when you do a comparison, you got to stick to the color that they are. I won't even do that. I'm just thinking about this. I would say for the black person, Jeff Blake, when he was in with the Bengals. But really, I was going to say Jeff Garcia.
Mm.
Mobile, crafty a little bit, can get around. But I would say his floor would be somebody like – Jeff, tough too. People forget Jeff Garcia may have had a light voice, but Jeff Garcia would run up in your face, try to run down. Like I would say, and just because you put me on the spot, but looking at next season, and you're right, Dice. I feel like they don't have as many holes, and that was the thing about last year. You like they have too many holes in the draft, and on top of that, they really need a quarterback. How are you going to kind of fill out both? Now they still have holes, and Ryan Pace did say this during the press conference afterwards when Hub Arkish asked him, you know, like, what are you going to do? You're close up against the cap. You got to sign these rookies. Are you going to look for guys that are on the street? And Pace said, we're still going to look at guys that are on the street, but also we're eyeballing guys that are probably going to get cut. So there's still a chance that you may fill fill out the cornerback position a little bit more, the inside, the interior linebacker position a little bit more. But the thing that I feel so good about this draft is next year, and even though the Bears don't have a first round pick, let's just say if Allen Robinson walks, and I hope he doesn't walk, it's not going to be as hard as you if you dedicate that second round pick to a top flight receiver. Now, I don't know how deep the receiver draft is next year, but still, you don't have as many glaring holes as you had going into this draft. And on top of that, if Justin Fields hits a really good quarterback, covers a lot of stink anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to say, did he save his job?
It's saved, man. You may as well get used to Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy for at least another 2 years.
He might not have only saved his job. He might have actually talked Allen Robinson into staying around just by drafting Justin Fields. Like, Allen Robinson's played for, you know, with Blake Bortles, Mitch Trubisky, caught passes from Chase Daniel. Like, now you have Justin Fields. Like, if you're Allen Robinson, you might have been thinking about leaving, but like, now aren't you kind of like, you know what? I'm in on Justin Fields. Like, let's see what happens here.
Especially if you've never had a good quarterback. Like, Allen Robinson had 4 years down there with a suck ass quarterback. All right. And then he came up here and got pretty much the same thing with a guy that had more nimble feet, but still wasn't a great quarterback. Now you have a chance to play with an up and comer. And it's in a city that you really like, even though the team kind of messed you over when it came to free agency. But still, like, I think it's somewhat enticing to go along with what you're saying, Dice.
It's kind of like when Steve Smith was about to retire and then they drafted Cam Newton. And he was like, oh, I think I can stick around for a couple more years and see how this goes. That's what it kind of feels like. Like, Allen Robinson, I think, in my opinion, and I'm not connected to the NFL whatsoever, so I don't have any news or anything, but it felt like Allen was kind of done with the Bears after he signed. Obviously, he signed his franchise tag, but after the season, I could see him being like, "All right, yeah, it's time." But I think this may have rejuvenated him. But in terms of saving his job, man, I don't want to go that far. Like, it feels good right now. It does feel good, but I mean. That was how many GMs get that second shot at it?
I mean,
like, after failing that hard.
If they were going into this year with like a one season contract year to like save their jobs, they've at the very least kicked that can down another year. Like, they at the very least have another 2 years, because when you make a move to get like a guy like Justin Fields, they're not going to, you know, like, let's say that they do like what they did with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, where I think he started like week 17 or 16, like a couple games at the end of the season that didn't really mean anything at that point. You can't like fire Matt Nagy if they go eight and nine. I gotta do the math, but
I hate that.
Yeah, but like, you can't fire them when they got Justin Fields before you even know what they have, you know,
right,
with that. So at the very least, they probably kicked that can down another year.
It's a deal with the devil. It's a deal with the devil. It's like, yeah, we got Justin Fields, but also Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy might have got themselves extensions.
Hey, listen, when you meet at that fork in the road, sometimes you got to get your fiddler and you got to do that dance with the devil, Tony. And unfortunately, we won this time, baby. All right. Catch this soul later. But the thing is, too, when you look at it, and Matt Nagy kind of talked about it going along with Dice just said about looking at what he did, where they did in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes and applying that blueprint here. Not saying that he was necessarily going to rigidly stick to it, but still the fact that he's seen it before and the fact that he thinks that Justin Fields, there's things that he can gain from Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. You know, so me personally, don't rush it. Now, if the kid looks good in camp, and like we keep bringing up with Russell Wilson and a Matt Flynn situation with Seattle when he got drafted there, cool, but you don't need to put too much on this kid right now. And I would say this: sit there, let Andy Dalton go out there. Let's let this line get set and homogenize and get used to one another. Let's let the team start playing some winning ball, hopefully, and kind of ease them into the situation. But they definitely got another year, because the last thing you really want to start doing to a young quarterback is giving him different offensive coordinators every other year. You know, like, you would hate to see that situation happen. Now, let's be honest. Yes, Baker Mayfield, even though part of that was Baker Mayfield with being like, I want Freddie Kitchens to stay here. So that's what you get, Baker. But
why you got to do my guy like that?
I'm sorry, but why did they listen to him?
Yeah.
Like, why? But still, when you look at it, that you can take your time and be patient and do right by this young man and insert him into a good football team. There's enough weapons on the offense to help him out. It seems like the offensive line will be solid. They ended on a good note last year. It seems like they'll be even stronger this season. Everything's set up. And this is a kicker too. And Aaron Rodgers wants out. Like, you're telling me we're sitting here, we got Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff in our division, and now we automatically have the best quarterback if Aaron Rodgers leaves? The Bears do? You know how crazy this is? What type of bizarro world are we living in right now?
You know, Ken, I mean, that's a great point. But I think we just had a comment we just saw from, I think, a YouTube comment saying, like, now the focus shifts to, can they actually develop a quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
And now that's where I think all eyes for Bear fans need to be now, because we know for a fact the talent is there with Justin Fields specifically. Can they develop him to get the most out of him and not what they think, right, that he should be? Like, with Mitch, we all know what happened. I mean, he wasn't that good at football, you know, entirely. But also, Matt Nagy didn't do a lot to help him meet where he was to get them to maximize him. And I don't know if that was on purpose, just so he can get his guy. Or, I mean, I don't know. But I'm interested now. If okay, when does the development start? How does the development, you know, come about? And how they use Justin, you know, at least in this first year, where, again, I hope he sits. It's not that important. I definitely would like to get the offensive line set for sure before throwing him out there. But now I think all eyes is, all right, Matt, all right, Pace, let's see if you have the requisite amount of teachers there to teach Justin Fields how to play at a potential, you know, a hopeful Hall of Fame level.
So I'm going to bring up like another situation. First, I think the point that both of you made about like Dalton starting the season, because like, let's make sure that this line isn't going to get this kid killed first, is like important. Like, let's let Justin Fields sit, make sure he's not going to get, you know, blown up. It's not going to be Joe Burrow all over again this year. So like, that's great. As far as like developing him, I mean, you got to feel so confident about his development coming into this situation. I mean, he's walking in there with Matt Nagy, who played a part, how big, who knows, in helping Patrick Mahomes get to where he's getting. He's you got Lazor, you got Flip, you have Andy Dalton and Nick Foles to also learn from, like a Super Bowl MVP and a huge veteran. And, you know, we talk about Flynn and Russell Wilson a lot. I think maybe it's just because of Chicago fans, like Russell Wilson has been in the forefront of our brains for so many months this year. But Justin Fields talk is so much sweeter, though. But I have a lot of family in Texas. They drafted Dak Prescott in the fourth round in 2016. Tony Romo gets hurt. And Dak Prescott ends up starting as a rookie and like kind of gets thrown to the wolf. Now he's different than Fields. He's like, you know, a lot bigger and can maybe handle the beating a little bit. And the Cowboys had a great offensive line. So like that was not a worry. But I mean, there was a moment in training camp when like Dez made a mistake and Dak Prescott confronted Dez and like Dez listened. You know, like listened as if he was the veteran. And keep in mind, like Tony Romo was still playing and on the team at this time. And it was like at that moment, you were like, this guy's the starter. Like he's the future. Like Tony Romo's done. Now, this was pre-Tony Romo getting injured. But like you knew in that moment, like the leadership was already coming out in training camp. And like, so like we all look at Matt Flynn and Russell Wilson. And, you know, Tony Romo wasn't Matt Flynn. And, you know, Andy Dalton's not Tony Romo, but like, it could happen. I lean in the side of like, let's not rush it. But, you know, the fan in me is like, I mean, Super Bowl this year, like, let's go. But the like rational human being in me is also like, let's just wait and see what happens. And there's no need to rush.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I got a question. If, Dalton is on the one-year deal. If he goes out there and balls and not, you know, I'm not saying he's a, you know, outright Pro Bowler, but if they make it to the playoffs, is there still plan to start Justin in that second season? Or do you just kind of see where this Dalton thing goes out? Hypothetically,
I know you for so many years, so I know you don't do drugs. All right. There's not a chance in hell unless Justin Field gets hurt the following season after the Bears moved up and gave up a first round pick for him. And this isn't Trey Lance. This isn't a situation where we're like, hey, this guy had 17 games against a lower grade of competition. This is a guy that played two seasons in the Big Ten and was in the SEC. All right. Like this is a guy that kind of somewhat to be coming into the NFL knows what he's doing. So no, and listen, that's a good one. What they'll do, what they couldn't do. Andy Dalton's going to go and get paid. If Andy Dalton has a season like that, he's going to go and be like, I'm going to capitalize on that. But no, there's not a chance that they would do us. Do you think after we just celebrated the way that we've celebrated that we would sit here and allow them to do that to us, Tony? Nah, it's not happening. Not in my opinion.
Hello. Hello, everybody. I come in here and you guys are talking about such sad stuff. My goodness. First of all, thanks for your patience. Season,
and then you got this hotshot rookie. Come on. How's that bad?
There's no way. No way. Like Andy Dalton is starting week 17 or 18, I guess now. Wait, Tony.
He doesn't even make it through the season?
No, I don't think so. Andy Dalton is on a 1 year contract, and like if he does ball out, like great, but like their future is with Justin Fields. They're not gonna let the season end without seeing him in real game action to know what they have. And like, how could you make a decision on Andy Dalton if you haven't seen Justin Fields on the field in an NFL game? And like that was, you know, they've talked a lot about the Patrick Mahomes blueprint, and like Matt Nagy's got the secret playbook, and like he put it in his backpack and walked out of Kansas City with it. Like they're gonna, you know, use the Nagy Mahomes playbook. Like that's part of it, is starting him at the end of the season. It's just a matter of how is it gonna be 2 games, or is it gonna be week 8, or is it gonna be week 5? Like when is it gonna happen? But it's gonna happen because they need to know what they need to see. Like the people are talking about Aaron Rodgers wanting out of Green Bay, and you know, Jordan Love and whatnot, and like how do you get rid of the Super Bowl MVP? But like they're in a situation now where like they have a first round quarterback on their roster, but they don't know what they have in this first round quarterback. And like now you also happen to have a guy that you thought was declining and just went out and had an MVP season, and like now you're kind of in a situation that all Chicago fans wish they were ever in. But that's kind of their quandary, is like, do they let him retire or walk so that they can see? Because they have an option that they have to decide on coming up, and they don't know what they have.
They better know what they have. I mean, they just moved up to get him at 11. I would hope that they have
Jordan Love.
Oh, we're talking about the Packers. Oh, okay, for sure.
I was using that as a comparison. It's like that's why Justin Fields will start this year before, because Dalton's on a 1 year deal. Like you got to see what you don't know whether you need to re-sign Andy Dalton to bring him back if you haven't seen Andy Dalton. Or if you haven't seen Justin Fields in the field. Whereas like Jordan Love is like the same thing. Like they haven't seen what they have in Jordan Love in an NFL game because they have Aaron Rodgers.
And Andy Dalton, I hate to say this, and I'm not saying he's going to have a bad season, but he's not what Alex Smith was that year before Patrick Mahomes started. Alex Smith, listen, I'm going to tell you about an Alex Smith hater. There's somebody in this four pod that thinks that Jay Cutler is better than Alex Smith. And we used to debate this very often.
I will die on that hill. Every time. I will
die. The point is, and the reason why Tony used to dislike Alex Smith is because he was check down Charlie and he used to play it safe. But towards the end of his time in Kansas City, he started airing it out a bit more and being more adventurous. But so, Andy Dalton has always been adventurous, but I still don't compare him to that Alex Smith that was with Kansas City prior to getting traded to the Washington football team. So I'm with you, Dice. I think we're going to see him this year. And I'll tell you guys this. I also think you're going to see him in some packages. They're going to pull Alex Smith out of the game for a play or two, and they're going to put Justin Fields in. Andy Dalton. I'm so hyped up on this Alex Smith juice. They're going to pull Andy Dalton out, and they're going to put Justin Fields in either to have him run an RPO just to give a different look to the other team's defense. We're going to see him. Even if he doesn't start the game, there will be situations where they'll put him in there just to get him a little bit of NFL speed.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Matt Nagy had much more of a relationship with Alex Smith leading up to the Patrick Mahomes draft than he does with Andy Dalton. I mean, he doesn't really know Andy Dalton, right?
He said that today.
On the phone. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he probably has more trust in Alex Smith. I'm not saying that he doesn't trust Andy Dalton, because I'm sure he does. He's a pro's pro, total veteran, right? Knows what to do, knows all the defenses, all that stuff. But because there's not that relationship there, he might not have the same sort of leash that or trust that he had in Alex Smith, right? Where if things aren't going great, if whatever reason he just decides, you know what? Yeah, Fields is ready. He might put him in sooner just because he doesn't have that that same equity, that same relationship.
Well, that's what we saw this season. Like when he's got his toy that he wants to take out for a spin, he's going to take it out the first opportunity he gets. Like he couldn't wait to pull Mitch Trubisky and bench him for Nick Foles. And like, don't get me wrong. Like Nick Foles came in and like blew out Atlanta and we were all like Super Bowl, man. And six straight losses later, you know, we had that Tampa Bay moment in between, you know, and that was great. But like the lease is going to be short. And like, that's the other thing. Like Tony, about Justin Fields getting on the field this year, like he had that personal relationship with Matt Nagy, and like still at the end of the season he had him sit so that he could put Patrick Mahomes on the field. Like if he did that to Alex Smith, like Justin Fields is definitely getting on the field at some point this season over Andy Dalton.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's week one, honestly, because they said everybody in that building is going to know when he's ready. And if he just comes out and training camp is lighting it up and it is just clear Justin Fields is the dude and he's ready, why not? Why not put him in week one? Or it could be a scenario where if somebody gets hurt on another team, it could be kind of a Sam Bradford situation. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a Sam Bradford situation, right? If some team is super desperate for a week one starter, you could probably get a pretty hefty return for Andy Dalton. Now, maybe that's where Nick Foles comes into play. Maybe they're able to ship Nick Foles in the Sam Bradford situation. But that's not unheard of either. Where I honestly, do I think that this is likely going to happen? No. But I would not be shocked if Justin Fields is your starting quarterback week one.
So have the expectations changed then for this coming up season then?
100%.
Yes, they have. They definitely have. Because I'll say this, if they were a 500 team last year, and of course we know they play one more game this year, so there won't be any 500 basically going around. But if they were a 500 team, you would think, let's even take Justin Fields out of it just for a quick second. You would think with how they solidified, what we believe is that they solidified the offensive line, that the Andy Dalton should be standing upright. There should be more holes for the running backs now. Like, a lot of that stuff last year with David Montgomery was because that offensive line was terrible. Like, the beginning of last year, we were unsure if he was a bell cow running back. And then when the offensive line started gelling, we saw like, oh yeah, we got us one right here. So now you look at, you got an offensive line with some real dudes out there now. The running game should be in effect. Even for somebody that doesn't, you wouldn't look to run between the tackles like a Tariq Cohen, there's going to be some holes for that little man out there. So I think now, yes, they should win at least two more games, I would say. And then you add upon that, if Justin Fields does get out there and plays well, wow. You know, like, they did pretty good in this draft with just a lot. Just Tevin Jenkins alone does a lot for what we all knew that they needed. They needed a tackle, in particular a right tackle, because Charles Leno doesn't get paid a lot. I know everyone's sick of Charles Leno. He doesn't get paid a lot. And last year, and people are going to come at me for he wasn't terrible last year. Not to say that's what we should want, but he was solid for the most part last season playing the left side.
So Adam Hogue did this thing on NBC Sports Chicago where he grades like every position on this like scale that he has. You can go back and look at it. It's got this like cool chart of the field and has everybody's numbers. But like a lot of the offensive linemen, it's on a scale of like 0 to 4.5 or 5 or something. I can't quite remember. But a lot of the offensive linemen kind of had these scores that were middle of the pack. And I think Charles Leno was one of them. But if you read the description that he wrote up with it, is that like if you just took out the like first 8 games of the season however many it was until that point where they like put Sam, I can never say his last name, yeah, at like center, and they like kind of moved some pieces around and they kind of found something that led to that like kind of run that got them into the playoffs, that like all those offensive linemen all of a sudden started scoring like a, you know, pretty high, where you would want like a quality starter to score. So, you know, the line wasn't great last year, but like there's other things that were going on there. And I feel like, you know, Tevin Jenkins getting in the mix, and like, I don't know if Cody Whitehair, James Daniel getting healthy, you know, Charles Leno, if he's just solid again, like it could, I'm not going to say it's going to be the best line in the league, but like it could be in the top half, top 10.
Mm-hmm. I'll throw Jermaine Ifedi in there too. I mean,
yeah,
it gets the line did get slammed, but towards the end of the year, Jermaine Ifedi was playing solid, reasonable right tackle. And I think we all expect Tevin Jenkins to come in and be a starter very soon. But, you know, it's a little bit revisionist history to say that they were so terrible, because they did get better. I mean, it took them like 6 or 7 different lineups to figure it out. But by the end of the year, they were a respectable offensive unit with Charles Leno at the left tackle and Jermaine Ifedi at right tackle. Now, it will be interesting. I mean, they said, you know, they like Tevin Jenkins on the left side and the right side. Borum can play a bunch of different positions. You know, I think we can all expect Tevin Jenkins to be an impact player soon. But, you know, Jermaine Ifedi did do a solid job towards that end of the year with that last lineup as well.
I mean, it sounds like you guys are really high on this season, but with the third or, you know, top 5 toughest schedule for the Bears and them still trying to, you know, figure some things out at the, you know, the quarterback position, I'll tell you where I'm operating from. I'm assuming that they're going to have a losing season. And I'm starting from that point because, one, I think – It helps me to think like, okay, it's a losing season. Yeah, they can, you know, trot out Justin to see, you know, how that goes. I will feel better at that point if, you know, if that's happening. But I'm not expecting a whole lot. And I don't think I did before, actually, this draft anyway. Like when they were at the end of season presser last year, that kind of depressed everybody, where Bears brass was like, oh, we're expecting, you know, a way better season than what we had previously. I was like, I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think, unless Justin is like this super crazy, you know, dude that's going to like be an instant winner from the moment he touches an NFL field, I'm not expecting a whole lot this year. And I don't think fans should be expecting a whole lot of wins either.
Whoa. He was an instant winner the second he got out of that car at house in that suit, like first of all, we need to acknowledge that like this city has some of the swaggiest like athletes there is. And like for too long, it was like, you know, Baez, Anderson, baseball players, like, you know, we kind of had their thing in 2008 where like they had a 18 where they had swaggers on the Bears when like, you know, they were creating turnovers and it was all like on the defensive side. But I feel like that's back on the Bears side. As far as like the expecting a losing season to, you know, try and temper your own expectations and not set yourself up for disappointment. Like I get that. And I mean, let's be real. They're, you know, if they make it to the playoffs, like that's a win in a successful season. And I think like they're not going to go to the Super Bowl or a conference championship game like this year. Like that should not be the expectation. But I also feel like you can be excited for this year without expecting them to make a deep playoff run or to go, you know, 12-5. Is that, you know, I think like it, you know, that you might not get that present, that prize, at kind of at the end of the road this year, but like, you know, the journey's starting. And I think like, that's why you can look to the season and be like optimistic and excited. Even if they go 8-9 or 9-8, like it's just the beginning of like, what's going to be a really exciting chapter. And like anytime Justin Fields gets on the actual field and plays, like he's improving himself, it's like one step closer to that. It's kind of like we're like, you know, a week out from Christmas. Like we're not at Christmas Eve yet. Like we're not coming down the stairs and like seeing all the presents under the tree, you know, but like school's out and like you're officially on break and like the party is getting started. Like you still got a week, you know, you still got to go to grandma's house and like do all that. But like it's getting there. Like, you know,
I'll say this to you. I disagree with you. And one, you're letting them off easy too. Just because they gave us this celebration, which we're not going to let them off. I feel like with the offensive line seeming like it's been solidified, looking at, and again, these are ancillary pieces. We don't know how good they're going to be as far as the running back they picked up and the wide receiver that they picked up. It looks like he's going to be a slot receiver, the Daz Newsome kid, and Khalil. I feel like the offense should be better. All right. And I know a lot of us didn't really like the Andy Dalton pickup, but he's better than Nick Foles. Now, I think the kicker is this, Tony. Eddie Goldman's coming back. All right. Then even with the kid that you picked up from BYU being a real nose tackle, we saw what happens when you don't have a real nose tackle. Yes, Bilal Nichols did at towards the end of the year start solidifying and being stout against the run. But now you got a real guy to come in and you can switch it in and out with Eddie Goldman. How Robert Quinn can only be better than last season. Like he can't be worse than that. I mean, right?
He can be just as worse.
I think he can run into 4 sacks this season. All right. Like I think. All right. So
he was another dude who was trending up. He was another dude trending up at the end of the year.
So we'll have to see how Sanders how he uses this defense. But let's be honest, Chuck Pagano really didn't have his thumb on the heartbeat of this defense on how to really exploit the talents on this defense. Now I can't put all of Eddie Jackson's regression on Chuck Pagano, but still I think Tony, the defense, and it should be better than it was last year, and it wasn't a bad defense last year. Plus, if the offense is better, the defense isn't on the field as much.
I pulled up the schedule for what it's worth. I think there are some winnable games. I mean, yeah, it's tough. I mean, they're playing Tampa Bay. They're playing Baltimore. They're playing Cleveland. Those are really tough teams. But then you've got the Bengals, super beatable. I mean, they're still young, right? Joe Burrow, do we know what Joe Burrow is? Do we know what the Bengals are going to be? You're playing Seattle. They're also kind of shaky. They're coming off that weird playoff loss. Russell Wilson is obviously unhappy. So who knows? Maybe you get a game from Seattle. You're playing the Lions twice, so let's just give them 2 wins there because it's the Lions, you know, let's be honest. You could split with Minnesota. Maybe you take one out of Minnesota, there's a win. And then like Aaron Rodgers, let's be honest, he's out of Green Bay. let's just lock with Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay. That's another two wins. So now it's like, all right, you just need to, okay, you could beat Pittsburgh. Maybe you pull off a win at Pittsburgh. You're playing the Giants. You can beat the Giants. San Francisco, I think you could beat San Francisco. Cardinals. I'm ready. Like, we're in double digits here.
I'm not comfortable with where this is going. You're giving him a lot of leeway here, dude.
Like, Alex, no, you're not coming with
me. We were drinking. No, I don't think you're feeling that.
But I mean, seriously, though, I mean, I look, the reason why I mentioned the schedule is because I did look at it. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't believe that they can beat, as easily as Alex put it, like the Niners and like the Steelers. Like, I don't want to have this excitement oversaturate what I think this team was going into this year just because of a draft. Like, I didn't think they were all that great, and the schedule got harder from last year. So, like, I mean, if they played this schedule last year, do they make the playoffs? Probably not. So, I mean, it's essentially the same guy. I mean, you got what, Andy Dalton isn't that much of an upgrade from, you know, Nick Foles in your situation last year. So I just don't see it. And I don't think it's bad that I'm viewing it this way. I'm still excited for Justin Fields and the future of this team. But for this specific season, I'm not expecting a five-game winning streak to start the year. Like, I'm not expecting that.
But year to year, you never know how teams are going to be year to year. That's the truth. Year to year, teams that you think are going to be, listen, just, and this is different, but just think about the Jaguars 2 years ago. People were like, they're going to be in the Super Bowl, right? And then it was like, rah, rah, rah. Look at the Rams. Look at the ebbs and flows the Rams went through until they kind of got good again. Like, you don't know from year to year. And Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger is playing dead, basically, all right? Yeah. The Baltimore lost talent this year. Now, they did draft two receivers. They got the Minnesota kid. But that offensive line is less strong than what it was last year. They lost Judon. Like, some of these teams – now, an ascending team is Cleveland, and we will see. But this is the thing, too, to remember. I always say with a team that hasn't dealt with a lot of success, I want to see the second year how they deal with that success. Because it can come and it can go. Teams necessarily, their heads blow up and they're not necessarily consistent. I'm not saying that schedule isn't hard, but we don't know from year to year if all those teams are going to be the same team that they were last season. The same with for perhaps the Bears. Again, I'm not saying that the Bears are going to be world beaters next year, but we went into this draft saying we need a tackle. I think most of us, not being crazy about it, because people were like, we need a tackle, we got to get rid of Charles Leno. And it was like, we need a tackle, but usually, why would you, unless you're going to get Penny Sewell or Slater, who you probably can't start, definitely with Sewell, start at left. Most of these kids are going to start at right, and if they're going to end up at left, they're going to end up at left. So we knew if we were going to draft a tackle at 20, he was probably going to be a guy that started at right, and later on he would move over to left. So Charles Leno Jr. would be there. So, but you solidified your post. And the one thing, if you can go back and think about, and this is what Ryan Pace loves, the Saints, if you can think about where the Saints put most of their money on the offensive line, it was guard and center. They always wanted to keep Drew Brees clean so he could step into his throws and step into the pocket. We right now have a nice little triumvirate in the middle with Whitehair, Mustafa, and James Daniels. You know, and then on top of that, let's just say hypothetically speaking, that Mustafa is too small and they don't want to use Mustafa. Maybe they move Daniels or Whitehair back to center. Then you got the Borum kid that could perhaps play guard with his big tail because he has a big ass tail. But he's a big boy. But again, we always say build through the trenches. It seems like you have finally on that side of the ball in the trenches have solidified it. We have to find out. All right. Right now it's a dream, but we hope it comes to reality. But at least you have the proper ingredients to make it become a reality.
Well, you talk about like not knowing how teams are going to be year to year. We don't even know what this team yet is going to be in 2021. Like Justin Fields starting, Dalton starting, like that's still unresolved.
And you know what type of teams that say, hey, you never know year to year, not great teams. Like that's what fans of not great teams say. Hey, you never know year to year. But
it could be like the Steelers, or it could be like the Steelers who came out and looked unbeatable. They had that crazy start,
mm-hmm.
just fell apart.
And then they were just trash overnight. So, I mean, it could go either way.
I know we got to wrap up soon, but a quick question. If Russell is made available.
No, I'm all in. I never really want to give up three picks, to be honest with you.
Just Justin and maybe a pick. Justin and maybe a pick. Do you want Russell Wilson?
I mean, if we're giving up Justin, like for Russell Wilson, like it better be like just a pick and not much else. Because of like the age and discrepancy, and Justin Fields said that he emulates Russell Wilson. Like that's a player he looks up to and watches tape and like styles himself after. And like Alex, me and Adam, like we were looking at photos of the two of them, and like you can put them side by side and it's like freaky. Like the way they hold their hands, they both do this like thing by their face, like when they're throwing. There's similarities there, but yeah, like think about where we were a week ago, or you know, when the Russell Wilson stuff was going on. Like they said we couldn't trade for Russell Wilson because we had no assets. You know, the Seahawks turned down a trade with the Bears because they didn't feel like they'd be able to get one of the top quarterbacks in the draft. Well, guess what?
Y'all lacked creativity, apparently.
We did. So yeah, and like for not all that much, like think about it. If like we had traded if we had traded away three first round picks for Russell Wilson, the Seahawks could have traded two of those for Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. Like they could have, like think about how that deal would have looked so bad now. Like they got Justin Fields and they only gave up two first rounds, and they didn't even give up like a bunch of other rounds. Yeah, I mean, like Russell Wilson's proven and all that, but like three first round picks.
Dice. They gave up one first round pick. They swapped. All right. Like that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like they gave up one. So let's think about that. They gave up one first round pick to get this kid. Right.
And they swapped a fifth and a third, right? Yeah. They essentially turned a third into a fifth.
And my last part on this with the Russell Wilson stuff, I don't want the cap hit right now. The Bears can't afford it. So remember what football is about. Get you a rookie quarterback that's good and win on that rookie deal right now. So if this kid can sit there and become a more athletic Russell Wilson and a bigger Russell Wilson, I'm all in for it right now. Let me dream right now. All right. Leave Sierra in Seattle. I'm fine. She doesn't need to be on Michigan Avenue. And y'all stay over there. You should have came when you had a chance to come. And I know it's not him on
now
him,
that but the Pete Carroll nice, and Schneider.
Exactly.
But let's not poo poo it. Because before Thursday, and if Seattle would have called and be like, all right, we think we want to do this trade. Everyone would have been just as excited.
Only because you guys had Russ talk up when you brought me into the situation. I wasn't all in. Because I've said this before. It's cool, and I would have been down with it. And of course, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Don't get it twisted. Even though we see sometimes letting Russ cook may not be the best thing to do moving forward. But I wanted my own, but I wanted the rookie QB deal. That's what I wanted. I wanted the rookie QB deal for the contract. So now, like, when some of this money comes off in 2 years, they can go out there if they have to and swing big at a free agent because they don't have to pay him right now. They don't have to pay him for another 4 seasons, basically. So I'm happy. I get what you're saying, though, Tony, and it would probably make sound sense to do it. But with the talent and how this kid's ceiling looks, I'm cool with riding with him right now.
You know, doing these podcasts where we can like see each other, I can really feel Tony judging me in a way that I couldn't feel before. You know, he'd just be quiet and you wouldn't know that you were being judged. But like now I can see him judging me with his eyes, and I don't know how I feel about it.
Alex?
Yo, I don't know if it's I'm with these guys. I don't know if it's the I'm just way into it with the draft right now. It's been 3 days. The draft's finally done, and I'm just in fully drinking the Kool-Aid mode or what. But I'm saying if they want to trade Justin Fields for Russell Wilson now, it's the Seahawks sending the pick to Chicago. We're not sending the extra pick. You're sending the extra pick because, like everybody said, you're getting the younger guy. You're getting the dude on the rookie contract. We're taking on the guy who now only has a few years left in the tank, while you have a guy who could be a franchise quarterback for a decade. So you're sending us those extra swings, or if I'm Ryan Pace.
But no, yeah, I'm happy with Justin Fields. How could you not be happy and so excited? The upside is off the charts. Russell Wilson, old news. It's Justin Fields time.
Sipping that Kool-Aid. Yeah, D. Come on. Sipping that. Right, listen. Listen. If you're going to bet, all right? And I hope if you did the Kentucky Derby, you use points bet today, all right? All right, I hope you got your money out of it, mm-hmm. all right? Mm-hmm. And now that the draft is over, you can start betting on these baseball games. So make sure you use the points bet whenever you're doing all of your bet. We definitely appreciate it. I hope everybody enjoyed the fun that we've had that was given to us by Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. You actually gave us a joyous moments this last few days. That's it for the Under Center Podcast. We'll be back probably Thursday, I think. Do we know how we're going to – are we coming back? Are we doing a show tomorrow, guys?
I'm sleeping for a week.
All right. Just making sure. We'll be back. Listen, we're going to do an emergency podcast as soon as all the unsigned free agents have been gobbled up by the fans.
Oh, the UDFAs. Oh, my God. I haven't even looked into the UDFAs. Oh, my goodness. What am I doing here?
Exactly. But we're definitely going to be back this week to kind of wrap up with everything as far as the draft goes and start looking towards the future. Always rate, subscribe, review, and hit us with the 5-star. And again, last time for right now, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, hats off to you guys. You actually did us right this time, and we definitely appreciate it.